Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
This is Randy Drake, bass player from Fozzy, and I'm here talking with the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact. I'm here with the Vegas Bad Boys. Let's see how everybody is doing. Sin City Steve, what's up?
What is going on? How y'all doing?
We're good. We're good. Simon Street.
What's up, everybody? Just remember, don't fuck with me when I'm eating, or I'm going to show you to the other side of the street.
All right, all right. King Lucky.
Smarcavelli in the building.
All right, all right. And Matt Michaels.
Yeah, that dipshit motherfucker wanted us to start the goddamn thing over just so we could fucking make introductions, and all he fucking has to say is, smoke Velvet in the house. Fuck you, dude.
Hey, he was burning for it, man. He was burning. He loves that phrase.
Jesus Christ, man.
Hey, it's
now
all
we
good.
We can begin.
Yes, we can. Let's get right into the three count. Our first count tonight is from Mandatory.com. Title: Eric Bischoff says that TNA was a legit competition to WWE before AEW. So the story goes like this. He was recently on 83 Weeks with Conrad Thompson, and this is what he had to say. Now that you got companies getting excited about 500,000 viewers or 700,000 viewers, I go, okay, I guess that's important. I guess that's really changing the world. But as much of a laugh, as you put it, as TNA was getting at the time, they were delivering consistently prior to Hogan. And I get there in subsequent 1.2 million, 1.4 million, and 1.5 million viewers. Hell, the reaction show that Jason Hervey and I produced that aired at 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock at night delivered 1 million viewers that followed Impact at midnight. So, Simon Street, I just want to ask you, man, what do you think about this? Do you believe TNA was competition to WWE during that time that Bischoff was there with Hogan?
I'm going to say, based on numbers, no. But will I say, did they provide a very strong, appeasing option? Alternative for people to watch outside of WWE at the time? Yes, TNA was on fire. You had a lot of the people that are stars now. AJ Styles. You had Kurt Angle when he went over there. I mean, at one point, Booker T went over there. You had they formed a group called the Main Event Mafia. You know, they had tons of people. I mean, Lance Storm. The list goes on.
Right.
Of just great talent. But yeah. Again, if you look at the numbers, unless somebody can challenge me on this, it was never, ever going to equal up to being competition for WWE.
Well, let me ask you. Let's go to you, Sin City Steve. I mean, now, assuming that what Eric is saying is right, if it was competition, then why wasn't it expressed the way that, you know, AEW right now is being considered competition? It's not being looked at that same way. And I mean, Eric is throwing out big numbers. I mean, they're not huge numbers, but compared to what I guess AEW is putting in right now, do you think that, you know, TNA should have somehow got that same sort of recognition as being competition to WWE?
So here's the thing. I think that it comes down to the fact that AEW was marketed extremely well from Jump Street. So, you know, they basically built a street team without building a street team. They made it the cool brand.
Yeah.
By signing talent that, you know, a lot of the smart fans determined were, you know, top tier, and people that weren't being, you know, they catered to the lapsed fan. They catered to me, for instance.
Right.
So I think that that's one major thing. The other thing that I think that really gets overshadowed in this is the mere fact that Impact made the huge blunder of going attempting to go head to head with WWE on Mondays. Mm-hmm. You don't fucking do that. There to steal a line from CM Punk, yeah. Their arms were too short to box with God. Okay.
good one.
That's it.
Yeah.
Bottom line. If they wouldn't have gone in and attempted to go head to head with Raw on Monday, then who knows? We could be having a very different show and a very different conversation right now.
True. Let me ask you, King Lucky, from what you're seeing right now happening on television, is AEW doing
What the fuck is going on?
Did somebody fall?
I have no idea.
That is absolutely not me. That must be Matt Michaels. You better check on him.
Matt, you good, bro? Did you fall? Did you have a tumble?
You know when liquid goes down your throat and your mic's right by your throat? Okay. That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Notice he didn't specify what kind of liquid.
Oh boy. Okay.
He's not getting it out.
Let's keep going. King Lucky. So, you know, based on what you've been seeing right now with AEW, are they doing something better than what Impact TNA was doing on television back then that you can see?
Better in terms of content?
Yeah.
I mean, not really. I mean, they had, you know, Simon Street mentioned it earlier about how a lot of the talent that they had back then you see on TV now. But I don't know if I could say that they're doing anything different. I think the fans are just more bought in, especially at a time where, like Sin City Steve said, you know, there's fans that have been left behind. So I think that it's a place where there's a need or a want for something different than you've been shown,
mm-hmm.
especially when you have talent that you're like, oh my God, that talent's so great. And then they just continuously get shit on or buried. So
yeah.
I don't think they're absolutely, you know, essentially doing anything different, but I think that, you know, it's around that time again where wrestling fans, you know, are definitely looking for alternatives. And now you have one with guys that are made, like the Elite and then all this other talent that they brought in,
mm-hmm.
that fans can get behind.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Michaels, just out of curiosity, do you just, you know, why Bischoff was just, you know, talking about the numbers and everything about during his time, how the numbers were actually a lot better. I'm just curious. I mean, do you think he actually will accept that when he actually came to TNA with Hogan and with Nash, that actually that's kind of when TNA was starting to go down, just slip away? You think he will admit that or nah, that's real revisionist history?
No, I think that it is actually not the history. I think that you're looking at the product maybe in the eyes of the fans, maybe mm-hmm. wasn't as good, and of course it, you know, deteriorated as it went on, but I think that he's right in the aspect when they came on, the ratings actually went up.
Yeah,
and so that's the thing is that in a sense they were trying to be competition to the WWE. That's at least how they saw themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you look at WCW and what they fucking did wrong, and that was they, once they had that lead, they didn't adjust to anything. And they basically ran themselves into the ground because they were only running on the leg of the NWO story instead of then giving better storylines to guys like Jericho and, you know, Guerrero and those people where you could develop them. WCW could have remained a full-on onslaught on the WWE.
Yeah.
They could have retained a lot of viewers.
Mm-hmm.
But TNA never had that, man. They just never did. So they were competitive in their own eyes, but in the reality is that they weren't a competition. AEW right now shouldn't even look at themselves as competition per se. That's the thing, you know? Yeah. Now, hey, if they pull a power play, they start growing numbers, and then they move to Monday nights and try to take them on Mondays or Fridays, then, okay, you can see something. But again, to me, you know, beating NXT, they should be. And I would hope they would. And
they
would
can't
hope
even do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's sad. Yeah. And I'd like to see them, you know, break a million every every Wednesday, because that will keep the company around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really, that's what...
Oh, sorry about that, man.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, isn't it enough of an accomplishment already that you're able to be in the same realm as the WWE, still operate and still be profitable? I mean, and that's not just directed towards AEW. That's the... directed toward, what we're talking about, Impact back in the day, or TNA, or the transition in between the two when they changed the name, to still be able to operate and have people look at it as an alternative. That's a good pat on the back, with that regard.
Yeah, well, it's, it's about as unbelievable of an accomplishment as it was when Lance Storm was in TNA. Because he ain't never been in TNA, brother.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Okay, I was like, hey, I don't ever remember him being in TNA. But if that's what he's saying, let me go look on the computer. Yeah, but I see your point. I don't know. Maybe that's just the way I look at it. Like I said before, and I probably misspoke, because whenever I did first say, I was talking more about when I fell in love with TNA, the product, before Bischoff and them got there. So I kind of misspoke. I agree. I think Impact said when Bischoff and them came, yeah, there was more eyes because, Hogan was there. He was there. They were taking new ownership. They changed the ring that had six posts to four posts. But it started losing its lackluster, I felt, as a fan, from that point. After they had a huge spike, it just started going down and just started getting stupid.
Well, and I think Bischoff also on this episode said something regarding that six-sided ring and the fact that he just, thought from the beginning that made them look second rate and, non-competitive. And so that's one of the reasons he switched it to the four rings or four-sided ring.
Well, I don't know. And just going back to the article itself, the numbers he was mentioning, the 1.2 million, 1.4 million, and 1.5, he actually gave those ratings their numbers before Hogan and himself got into Impact. So that wasn't even after. I don't know what happened after, but the language he used made it seem like the numbers he was quoting was before they arrived. Now, I don't know what numbers he pulled, because from reading, it seems like people were, but at the same time, you see articles crediting him like saying, well, hey, well, when you came, that's when those numbers were not becoming 1.4, 1.2. they were slipping on down.
But it took a product of time for those numbers to start to decrease.
Yeah.
It wasn't, when they initially came in, the bump happened. They got the extra users for that reason. But the God's honest truth, if you think about it too, is that the reason you're getting, a million, it still wasn't more than, it didn't hit 2 million viewers.
Mm-mm.
So, if you look at that number and you look at AEW's numbers, and they're going to be in that position at some point down the line here, where they're going to be constantly pulling 1 to 1.5 or 1.7. It's the fans who want the alternative.
Yeah.
I think you guys kind of said it, the alternative. Mm-hmm. And you'll always have that little, the Monday Night Wars were just a circumstance. It happened because it was a circumstance where it was right. The time was right. The era was right for the people who just got into their 20s who grew up Hulk Hogan fans.
It was just a perfect storm.
Perfect storm.
Yeah.
And now if you're doing 1 to 2 million for another wrestling show that's not WWE, you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will go into our second count. And let's get into this. We all know that this past week there were many layoffs that were from WWE. And so a lot of reactions have come from this. So let's just break down some of the criticism that they received after these layoffs taking place. All these information I'm going to give either came from GameSpot.com, WrestlingNews.co, or Fightful.com. And this is some information I actually didn't know. I guess when the XFL started in January 2018, Vince McMahon had insisted that both companies would operate as separate entities and that he would pledge $500 million out of his own pocket to fund the XFL. But in the filings, it actually revealed that WWE owns 23.5% of the Class B stocks in the company. And of course, that meant that XFL and WWE financial problems were linked from that. There was also they were also being criticized as well, as you know, having their talent wrestling at the time where it appears to be a lockdown, and eventually they was able to become an essential business. But even before that happened, and some would even say even afterwards, still working during this time, they've taken a hit on that. Not to also mention Linda McMahon, her political ties that come from Florida. Apparently, she has she's head over Super PAC, which is part of a President Trump's reelection campaign, and $18.5 million of advertisement is being added to that. And lastly, we found out that the WWE announced a dividend for stockholders, which was 12% per share for the first quarter of 2020. And it turns out that the money could have paid the salary for all the people that were released for some time and could have lasted longer as well if the company could cut the dividend in half. And according to Dave Meltzer, he was just saying on this Wrestling Observer Radio that they have more than enough money to operate, not to make the cuts. He said, yeah, for a little over a year, quarterly dividend. So the dividend for the next year would cover everyone who got fired as far as talent and producers for 4 years and 4 months. They could just cut the dividend in half. They could have covered these guys for 2 years and 2 months. By then, maybe the economy would be back, or they could. And the last part of all of this, why WWE, of course, laid everyone off, you see another company, another big company, New Japan, who at this time will be paying their staff and contracted talent full salary and their benefits during this coronavirus pandemic, and they're not even in the status of what appears to be all the money that WWE has. So let's get down with it. King Lucky, bottom line, do you think that these layoffs at this moment was necessary to do now?
Nope. First of all, nobody could ever foreseen this happening, right? And then they folded the XFL and then went bankrupt. But I believe that they should have kept the talent on. You know, if you look at how much they estimate to save during this time, you know, for the foreseeable future, it's a small price to pay for men and women that have put their bodies on the line and have been with the company now for years. from everyone, from the talent to the bookers, the road agents, people in the office, you know, at a time where more care is needed, there should have been more given to these people, the men and women that got released or laid off.
So what do you do? What do?
You pay them. You absolutely pay them. Absolutely. One could make an argument that you shouldn't have signed all this talent to begin with just because you wanted to keep them away from another company.
Yep.
But
oh, wait. Whoa.
Hold on. No one pointed a gun to those people's heads to sign the fucking contracts.
Do they need to get paid?
Well, you're saying another company. Hold on. You just said that they're being held away from another company.
If anybody offers you double your salary or whatever it may be, even a little bump, don't you think that your dream company, WWE, the number one game in town, is where you would sign?
Okay. That's my choice because I'm doing it for the money and my career, and I've always wanted to work there. Does that promise me anything?
It does not promise you anything, but at a time like this, they should have taken care of their employees.
But I'm going back to the point that you said that there's another company out there, you know, WWE shouldn't have been holding them up with these contracts, but they signed the contracts, man.
Yeah, they did.
So you got to just deal with it. I'm sorry, man. You know, if you're lucky enough to get a contract and you sign it because you wanted, you know, this is your passion, you want to work in this industry, you also have to know the risks you're also entering because you know the WWE. You know the product. You know that guys on top are just about four every decade, and that's it. And those are the same four fuckers you see for 10 years straight. So, you know, I mean, is it any surprise other than I know that, you know, you're really high on Rusev? I mean, you look at those other names on there and you go, yeah, all right.
What about the office workers? You wouldn't have kept them either?
It depends on what the structure of the office is. The thing is, I don't know anything about the office, right? I could comment on the wrestling side of it because we see the product and we see who these guys are. But the office staff, I don't know. I don't know the situations. I don't know who got laid off. I don't know if they got furloughed. It's not a heartfelt thing to do. Obviously, this is a heartless business move, but at the same time, you know, no one foreseen this coming.
Right, but with money bleeding out in other avenues, it seems like a cost-cutting measure. And don't you think that they could have taken care of those people for a little bit longer?
But they, what I'm saying is, okay, they paid them, right? They've been paid this whole time. And now you've been let out of your contract. Now, your point, well, there's another company out there.
Yeah, there's several companies.
Right.
Yeah, so, but they can't go in for until the 90 day though. So they're gonna be waiting anyways, right?
Well, those were firing. If they were firings, that doesn't necessarily mean that they had a 90-day clause.
So does that negate the 90-day clause?
Yeah, like a 90-day clause would usually work if you get
if you leave.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right, a non-compete. Gotcha. But if you're fired, they're saying we don't want to use you. Get out of here. So in that theory then, these guys, all these guys who got fired should be able to get hired by another company, right?
Yeah. They should. There's a lot of variables right now just because of the uncertainty of what's going on. So, well, I hope that those people land on their feet.
All right. Well, look, we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Hang on. I let everybody have their piece. Okay. Bottom line is this. WWE made a piss poor move with this. These were probably cuts, most of them that were going to be coming later on in the year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But they bumped them up to now for whatever reason. So I just have to point out mm-hmm. to everybody, and I would be completely remiss if I didn't do it. Early on in the spread of the coronavirus, WWE's first official statement on the matter reminded investors of its, quote, substantial financial resources, both available cash and debt capacity, which currently total more than $0.5 billion to manage the challenges ahead. Okay, so in other words, WWE had $500 million in cash on hand and was fully equipped to easily ride out any potential shutdown of live entertainment. And by the way, Mr. DJ Impact, I got that exact paragraph from your favorite website, Forbes.com.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The greatest reading material a Tallhead has ever seen.
Absolutely. Did you want to add more on that or
no, I'm good.
Okay. Good. I was going to come up.
It was horribly timed. They just shouldn't have let them go at this time, especially with having the liquidity that they had.
Very true. Very true. The one thing I was going to also say too is I think it looks bad on WWE, as the article did say, because of the XFL having to essentially file bankruptcy and whatnot, and how Vince McMahon did say that the two would operate separately. So it does kind of look like they're trying to make up for that if you look at offers. But also too, there's other big companies right now that are doing reducing their costs right now to try and to help fix the impact that this COVID-19 has caused. I mean, Disney right now, the heel .com posted an article saying that Disney is going to stop paying 100K employees as cost cutting measures. You know, that's going on as well. I'm sure there's other companies as well. They're trying to survive as best as they can, and companies will routinely do this. I do believe that when we had the recession, many companies were doing much of the same anyways. And so why would this be any different? You know, it sucks. And that's just the business side of it. It does suck that a lot of these people are trying to feed their families. I think we all saw the very emotional video that what's the little boy's name? Drake Maverick said,
"Little boy."
That's what I call him. No disrespect, Drake. I'm just saying, because
Drake Maverick, fan of the show.
Yeah, Drake Maverick. But I am saying, like what he was saying does make sense, because it's like at this point he did say the point to where I'm just trying to figure out how do I feed my family. You know, where do I go from here? And it's cool that the WWE is allowing him to compete in a match where we don't know what the result's going to be for the cruiserweight tournament that's going on right now. But outside of that, where is he going to find work? And so I think that time will tell where they're going to go. I know we probably have a segment down the road of where they could go, but it does suck. It's just so surprising that Money in the Bank is going to be a corporate. The corporate building, and they got to scale up. I guess they're going to have a lot of space since they've cut a whole bunch of jobs. People won't need their desks or floors anymore, so that they can just climb up and get the Money in the Bank, which is kind of a slap in the face if I worked for the fucking WWE corporate office. Just saying.
Well, your reward is that you're going to be able to keep your job. That's what's going to be in the case.
Basically. You keep your job. That's some cold-blooded shit, man. But, business is a cold-blooded place. To do businesses can be cold-blooded. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, it can be. You know, I mean, there are some companies, and, I even know, I think we even have some people that work for companies with Vegas Bad Boys where, their companies is taking very good care of them. And they're not doing any work right now,
except for them complaining that they now have to start working this week and answer phones.
Who's doing that? Whose job is that?
Smarcavelli.
Smarcavelli? You complain about phone calls, man? You want to work my day job, man? I hear from...
I'm actually happy.
You're happy?
Happy to do those phone calls.
Oh, man. Yeah, the people I hear at my job, boy, I mean, not my job, but, you know, what we have to do, man, they come and they ask us for answers, and you just have to answer, but you have to be happy you have a job. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it sucks for them. Prayers and positive energy that they'll land on their feet and people pick up.
Let me ask you this, Matt Michaels. How should WWE look at their talent going forward, especially when it comes to them contracting new talent, but they don't use them? Is that a good idea? Is that something that maybe, I mean, even when they, you know, I mean, they have cash now, but when we get out of this pandemic and the money starts flowing back in again like it was, and should they go back into that old style of just, you know, having all of these talents just on the payroll, or should they just not do that, period? Because you never know when something like this will happen again and you have to release so many people at once.
It's a fucking business, man. It, you know, the fact of the matter is sign the people you want to sign.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're the ones signing. They're going to sign if they want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for instance, like if you ask Sin City Steve, if you were given the chance to work for the WWE, would you sign that contract? Or because of the principles and what you think of the company, would you just wait to see if you get another contract with another company?
Mm-hmm. Give me a fucking pin.
There you go. Exactly.
I'm the same exact way, man. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, man, you got to look at your situation, what you need. And if signing that's going to get you what you need, you're going to do what you got to do.
Sin City Steve to WWE confirmed.
I love
you. You got to get the picture with Triple H.
Right?
There you go.
But you know, actually, funny story, and I'm not going to derail, but I know shit showed my mom the picture. She sent me the picture of Kevin Owens when he first got signed with WWE. And I shit you not, my own mother asked me when I met Triple H. My own mother.
Wow.
That's crazy, man. You should be a stunt double, man.
Right?
Although it would suck for the crazy shit that he does be doing, man, you'd be a sore motherfucker.
No shit.
All right. Let's get now to our third count. And this comes from Bleacher Report. They had an article where they are sort of predicting where some of the cut stars will land. And what we're going to do is just kind of see if we agree with this. And they only mention, I believe, 7 or 8 of them. And then after that's all over, if we want to throw some of the other names out where we would like to see or them go, we could do that as well. So let's start here. They would think Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows will fare well in New Japan Pro Wrestling. What do you guys think of that? Perfect?
Yes.
Perfect. That's the general consensus.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, Carl Anderson already posted a video to his Twitter.
Machine gun.
Yeah, saying basically showing a video clip of Santa Monica, California, a clip of an airplane, a clip of Tokyo, Japan, and then a cutaway with a voiceover in the same exact voice that was the Bullet Club voiceover that just said machine gun, which was his nickname in New Japan. So he's signed, sealed, and delivered, and dare I say, Gallows is going to go with them.
Well, and also, too, I mean, it's a perfect fit, and they can essentially, and correct me, Sin City Steve, if I'm wrong for saying this, they can almost leave off where they started. I mean, all obviously assuming once this kind of dies down with the COVID-19 stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, dude, for sure. Tama Tonga just took possession back over the Bullet Club, mm-hmm. and he could easily bring them back in as, you know,
enforcers.
Build it into an angle and, mm-hmm. you know, just have them show up as, like you said, enforcers or, you know, find a way to make it work. But, yeah, especially with the everything that Harold May's doing with New Japan, it's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
What do you think about Leo Rush to AEW?
I'd rather see him at Impact.
I haven't seen Sonny Kiss on the show yet, so. Right. Oh, you mean Leo Rush to AEW?
Wow.
Oh, and it cut so deep.
No, I could see him going Impact or Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My reasons are selfish. I'm gonna be real with you right now. I want to see him go to Impact.
Oh,
and I want to see him in Bay Bay.
Him and Chris Bay. Oh yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Yes,
I want to sign you up for that. Tim City Steve calling it. Bay probably listened to the show.
Yeah.
Let's try it. Let's try and start a move and make that shit happen.
That would be
amazing match.
Down.
All right. What about Mike and Maria Kanellis over the ROH?
Oh yeah.
Either that, or I think they go back overseas.
Overseas, okay.
You could easily bring them back into ROH and throw them into an angle. They have a pre-made angle with Matt Taven.
With the Kingdom, right?
Yeah, he was a member of the Kingdom. So yeah, perfect fit. ROH Kingdom all day.
Mm. Okay. Deanna Purrazzo over the Impact.
I would say AEW. They need to bolster more female talent for AEW, and she'd be a perfect fit.
I agree with that.
Okay. What about Zack Ryder over at AEW?
Oh, he's already signed a deal. I'm guaranteeing it.
Yeah. I'm sure he did. Yeah.
It's already Cody has said. Cody has gone on record as saying if there was anybody on the WWE roster that he could take from WWE and bring to AEW, it would be Zack Ryder. And this was a couple of years ago when, right when AEW was founded and Zack was still gainfully employed by WWE. So
Yeah.
Because Zack makes money.
Damn.
You just cut deep today, Michael. Man, what's really on your mind?
You know what? But you know what? I'd have to agree with Michael's. I mean, it's a feel good thing because they'll bring a friend home. He'll be doing the same thing he's doing, or he was doing in WWE, so.
Yeah, he'll have about as much TV time as Sean Spears.
Damn.
Yikes.
Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
Well, I think it would be interesting to see him if he's not doing the duplicate copy of what WWE was, to see something different from him. That will be refreshing. Now, whether it's going to be something we'll like, that's the question.
Yeah, he's going to be the controversial third person that essentially breaks up the best friends.
you mean Chucky D?
But tell me that doesn't sound like exactly the type of thing that would be done.
Yeah,
that or either team them up with your buddy that just came back, Colt Cabana. Mm.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
Since they love to group everybody into trios in AEW, you could easily slot him into the Nightmare family, have QT Marshall assume a completely backstage role, and make the Nightmare family comprised of Cody, Dustin, and Zack Ryder, or Matt Cardona, whatever name he goes by.
Just gotta have him in the background a little bit and pop him up when he needs to be.
No, I'm saying have QT Marshall. Mm-hmm. Go to strictly being backstage, and get Zack Ryder out there essentially in his role.
Okay, gotcha.
Let's
I can't say no.
Make it further. Go further with him, man. Don't make him into that role. Make him into a Rhodes, man. He could be Zack Rhodes.
Zack Rhodes.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that would be entertaining.
God.
What do you guys think of this right here? Rusev to NWA.
I don't like it.
My thing, hold on. I can't say that Rusev would work there in the long term. I just can't see. I'm not saying it's the case. But I do want to see some of this talent go to NWA.
Yep.
I do want to see that. I really, really do. I think they have something very special, and they're just waiting for that right talent to be put in place with what they already have established. Lucky could probably tell us all about that because that's his show. He watches
it. Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I mean, but for real, like they just—I think they're about 4 or 5 superstars away of really just making a huge splash. And you know, a lot of people who've been watching up to this point gonna be looking at new people watching. Like, well, we tried to tell you.
Well, I'll tell you also too that they will benefit from the relationship that NWA has with ROH. So those talents could be interchanged, and you know, you could really get into some super shows, if you will. But I think that, yes, I think that I'd like to see a lot of those talents go to one of those shows because you know they'll end up working both. So I like that.
So let's stick to Rusev right now. We're going to jump to other talents. What do you guys think of? Where do you think of Rusev to be?
AEW.
AEW. Give that man a live mic on a Wednesday night.
Yep.
AEW, but I would actually want him to hold out and go back to WWE.
Jesus Christ.
Look, hold on. Time out. I got this. Lucky, there is a better chance of Bobby Lashley holding out his marriage with Lana than Rusev holding out to go back to WWE.
Yeah, selfishly, I would like to see him finish up there, but yeah, I think he'll go to AEW.
No, he goes to AEW. He goes there. He becomes part of the Nightmare posse there. And they call him Rusev Rhodes.
Yeah, that's the answer for everything, Rusev Rhodes.
Okay. Wow. And this was the last name that mentioned, the last names, EC3 and Drake Maverick over to AEW. Do you like that?
Nope. Impact. All the way. Go back to Impact. EC3 needs to go back to where he really, I felt, was really successful.
Yep.
And I think if he goes there, he can regain himself, and then from there, go where he needs to. I and again, this is maybe my opinion, but I think if he went to AEW, I think he'd get much of the same that he got with WWE. He might get a little bit of TV time, but then he'll go back to the shuffle. But going back to Impact, he already has a throne, per se, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. We're going right back to it.
Or, again, obviously playing into the whole trios thing with AEW. If he did end up going back to AEW, I could see him sliding in and making a trio with Wardlow and MJF.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all douchebags. That would work.
Right. Exactly.
That would work perfect.
I was hoping you were going to say he'd be like EC3 Rhodes.
Or Ethan Carter Rhodes.
Yeah.
Fuck. But yeah, since Steve, I would say in addition to that, I think that have them all wear like the, what do you call it, the scarves.
The Burberry?
Yeah, 100%. Have them all look that way. Oh, that would be perfect.
And then they can get Pete Gas. And Rodney. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, you on a roll today, man.
Whoa, I slipped back to 99 there for a second. I'm sorry.
I got one more that I would like to introduce, and that would be where would Heath Slater, baby, go?
Oh, Jesus, you're excited.
Back to his kids. Back to his kids.
NWA.
Yeah, NWA. Yeah, I think he'd do really well.
Yeah, he would do really well in NWA.
Let him get all buff and then go back to WWE and win the WWE championship, so that there can be a 3MB reunion with him. Jinder Mahal and the Psychopath. They can all just say, "Hey, we're all champions," and 3MB for life. Bullshit.
Be there great. You go.
What?
3MB, baby.
I know 3MB, but I don't.
I'm a one man band. You remember that song? That shit was fire, man.
He's got kids, man, so he's got to get hired somewhere.
He can get hired at Costco's, Domino's Pizza's hiring, Postmates. It only takes 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
No. You're onto something, and that's what would get him over.
Oh, the gimmick! He's doing.
If he does a YouTube series right now, God, while he's in between, And he's doing that. He's delivering pizzas. Too. He's doing
odd jobs.
Yeah, odd jobs.
You know,
he keeps getting fired.
That actually would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. It doesn't necessarily even have to be Heath Slater. If somebody would do that, I think that would be a recipe for success.
Yeah.
So
and if
you're listening to the show,
somebody's listening.
Everyone watch NXT like 2 weeks from now.
Oh, shit.
Oh man.
What about Eric Rowan? Does he go and join the Dark Order?
Oh God.
No. Or does he join the Nightmare Collective and be Rowan Rowan?
Hey, I'll throw a curveball way out of left field. MLW.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, it couldn't hurt him.
Yeah. I mean,
you leave that fucking spider at home.
If you think about it, I mean, you know, tall, imposing, pretty badass dude. Yeah, I could see him wrecking some shop in MLW.
Because for him,
just as long as he stays away from the whole Dark Order thing. Oh no.
Lord of mercy.
But he's another one to where I think that if he makes the right choice,
yeah,
he could do a repackage. Because even with recently when he was with WWE, I felt like they didn't give him, I mean, they gave him a chance way more than what they did in the past, I feel. Mm. But I still felt like they weren't fully really invested with him.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed him somewhat recently until he started bringing that fucking cage out. But a little bit before that, I really liked what he was doing, the work he was doing on SmackDown, where he was just, you know, speaking intellectually and stuff like that. You know, mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of cool. I wanted to go see it further. So if he could do something sort of that, to where he had more mic time and could do more promos, he could get repackaged, and man, he'd be set to go, whether he stayed to that promotion or went back to WD or whatever the hell. Sky could be the limit for him.
Yeah.
Anybody? Last one I have. Mm-hmm. Last one.
Last Sarah one he has.
Logan. Yeah.
Impact.
Sarah Logan.
Impact. Impact. I could see her do really well there.
Wait, how could she go anywhere? She's got an elbow that was kicked out of place.
God.
What about, I mean, Jose? Wasn't he like commissioned?
Well, yeah, he's gone. No, it was strange to see Sarah Logan like literally get her elbows snapped, and then the next day she gets fired.
She's fucking fired.
I was like, Jesus. Oh man, talk about like really like playing. You could bring her back in a sob story. That's like wonderful. Fall right there, you know, the company broke me and then they fired me.
It's talk about getting buried on your fucking way out.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously,
which
we're not even gonna let you finish the match.
Who is she like, married to?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, Ray married to one of the what you call it, the Viking Warriors of Raiders,
yeah,
of years the past. Vikings, the Destroyer. What are their names officially now?
Eric and Ivar.
Yeah.
No, I could see her in ROH, actually.
Yeah, ROH would be good, too.
Before she got the WWE call, she was actually working and doing some shows for ROH. So, I mean, she has a connection there. So, I think that she could do all right for ROH and help bolster their women's division.
Yeah. I mean, and really, we're talking about somebody who really, I felt, held her own. And I think that, you know, again, WWE just wasn't putting her on a priority list of who they already had in the women's division.
Yeah.
And I think that she'll do really well. I mean, she's talented. She's seasoned. She's not a rookie. I mean, yeah. So wherever she can go, man, I would say ROH Impact for sure. One of those. Well,
let's also face it, too. You know, with almost everyone who is a female in the WWE, it's usually if you have blonde hair and big tits, you get the belt, you get the push. So, you know, she's kind of was against it, you know, already against it going in. And it's just, you know, I think she can have a chance to show a little bit more. Just make sure that you just play a little better version of yourself. That's it. She's got to be just notch it up just a little bit. She's pretty good.
Yeah, she's really good. I mean, even when she started in the Mae Young Classic, I think is when everybody, when we first started, and correct me if I'm wrong, sometimes my dates get funny, but Mae Young Classic, when they first did it, that's when she arrived, right?
Oh, that was the one that Lance Storm was in, right?
Oh, man. Hashtag, that time with Lance Storm, fill in the blank. But yeah, you're definitely right, Michaels. Not with the Lance Storm, but definitely with her just amping up who she is as herself. I think we work for it. Have her go back to hillbilly ways. I like that.
Was there anybody else on your list that you guys want to try to draft them somewhere to, or that was it?
Oh, no, no way, Jose.
Okay, where do you think?
I would like to, more out of curiosity, wherever the hell he goes, I want to know what his capabilities are outside of what the WWE package demands. Yeah. Because I never got a chance to see. He's a big dude. He's not small.
Well, you know, you do know he has a family lineage, you know, they should just, he should go and basically go back to being his family lineage right there, and that's Jose Rhodes.
I thought you were going to say Lance Storm. I was waiting. He's going to go back to Lance Storm. God damn. Man. But yeah, I mean, that's somebody I want to, I'm just curious. Like, bro, what are you like outside of No Way Jose? Because I mean, you know, do you got skills or was it just what WWE invents his envision of what you were? I don't know. Anybody else feel that way?
Yeah. I'd like to see him, honestly. I think that he could. I would have to say, help throw him onto like an ROH, Impact, even NWA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him working for one of those for sure.
Yeah.
But anywhere that he can actually, you know, portray more of himself, like what you were saying, is key.
And no conga lines.
No.
And absolutely no conga lines whatsoever.
Yeah, he should do coke lines instead.
Wow.
Was there anybody else on that list, no. Impact, that we missed?
I mean, Kurt Hawkins.
Lance Storm. Oh, Kurt Hawkins. I think he's going to open up his own toy store, isn't he? Collectible store?
What's funny is he actually owns his own training school.
Oh, so, does he?
Yeah, so I know that we made the joke about Lance Storm, but I think that he could go the Lance Storm route of being a full-time trainer.
Didn't we already talk about Woo?
Oh my god.
Wow, he is on one today, bro.
He is, boy.
Did you do a line of coke?
Heyo.
Eric Young.
Impact. But maybe doing more of a backstage producer. Or something like that. Producer. Yeah. I can see him doing that.
He's gonna go. I say go back to Impact 2008.
Yeah, go hop in the time machine.
Yeah, then he'll be set. And I think if anyone can do it, Eric Young can do it.
Perfect.
Aiden English.
Aiden English is going to spend a lot of time with his lovely wife, and I'm pretty sure wherever he decides to go, he's going to be successful.
Where's Rusev going?
Rusev is... Why do you call him Rusev?
Rusev, man.
It sounds like you're saying worst off, first of all.
Worst off, oh worst boy. Off.
Rusev.
Yeah, man, like, Rusev.
It sounds like a Stouffer's meal, some shit. Rusev, we see, you got, he's saying it now. Rusev, we said he was going to AEW.
Well, then that's where Aiden's going. That's where Matt goes.
What do you think about our longtime referee, Mike Chioda?
Oh, AEW for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's probably working there right now.
And yeah, I don't know, Todd Sinclair, watch out for your job, man.
Oh, man. I think Todd is safe.
Todd's safe. Todd's good. Everybody loves Todd.
Yes, absolutely. And Kurt Angle's done, right? He's done?
No, he's not done. He's done in-ring.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that neck is like, the fuck you ain't. Motherfucker, I will separate this head from your body if you get back in the ring. But outside of that, I think he has so much to offer as a producer anywhere he decides to go. I mean, if that's what he wants to do, he might want to just spend time with, get reestablishing that relationship with him and Jason Jordan. You know, he wants to make sure he's a good father to the son that, you know, he never knew he really had.
If he could go anywhere, I'd really like to see him go to NWA.
Yeah.
I think he could offer a lot to
production,
their talent, their TV. So I'd like to see him go there.
Yeah.
NWA. He goes to ROH because they are crazy enough to let him wrestle.
Fuck. I'm serious. You know what the sad thing is, though? We laugh. But to a certain, thought, would Kurt Angle not try to still wrestle? I think he's scared to still try to wrestle. And it's painful to watch. It's so painful to watch. That neck looks like, I don't even know what to call it. It looks like a frog neck at this point, man. It don't look human.
And that's why if he goes anywhere, he goes to ROH, because ROH can give him a smaller amount of money, but offer them the opportunity to actually go in the ring.
That's crazy. Who would he wrestle then? Who's crazy enough to wrestle him?
Well, Bubba Ray puts him through a table within like 5 seconds of him signing the contract.
That's a good one.
Oh, man. All right, y'all. Let's get into some wrestling talk. I don't know what you saw on TV this past week from Raw. We can start from there. Big takes from the show, guys. I guess Seth Rollins did his finisher twice on Drew McIntyre at the end of the show. That's kind of big.
That was a big annoyance. It was annoying. I found it to be very annoying and not realistic.
Mm.
Am I the only person that felt that way?
But the most important thing I think they got to come out of with those two guys there is really give that story and those matches time to build. And I think that's where they'll win, because this is a good feud. I'd like to see them sink their teeth into it.
But you know what I did find disappointing about Monday night is I really appreciated and thought the angle that Andrade and the three Cabreros were going for. Yeah, whatever the hell the name is. But I like the fact
they got released, didn't they? Lucha Party?
Not Lucha Party, oh my God.
Oh, boy.
No, but I thought it was cool for a second how they kept doing the same move that Andrade did to, to take the NXT title from him. I thought they were going to go somewhere with that, and then out of nowhere, Seth Rollins. And maybe that's why, selfishly, I was a little pissed off. I was just like, this is some bullshit. Seth, if you don't take your Messiah ass somewhere else, like I'm done with Seth Messiah.
Oh, wow.
I'm done with it. I can't stand it.
Hmm.
All right, then.
You want him back? You want him back to the baby face?
Yes, I want him back to the baby face. I don't know if I can't do it. I can just do it one more time. Oh. Sit on a fucking mushroom and twirl.
Wow.
I will say that while I wasn't a fan of Oscar doing all this crazy wild stuff in the beginning that now she's kind of wearing on me, because I'm happy that she is at least getting, you know, some.
What was that little humming they was doing, her and Kyrie, when they came in? Does anybody know where they got that from? What was was that their music they were humming or what? Or was I the only person that saw that part of the show?
Oh, God. I think so.
I was dying. I mean, anytime Oscar talk, I'd be just dying. Because you'd be like, okay. Rah! I just love it, boy, because like at the same time, they're like, all right, let's just fucking wrestle. But do you really want to wrestle her? Because she's going to fuck you up. Just say it.
Impact, could you do me a huge favor and just cut out his little blurb right there and save that as a drop? Now that we can just play it at random times throughout the show.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Wait,
are you talking about my impersonation of Oscar?
Yes. Yes.
But isn't that how she sounds, though? She's hilarious.
Well, cool. Any other takes from Monday night you guys want to mention?
Again, it was a long fucking 3-hour Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just so hard when it's Raw.
Let's
3 hours is a bit much to be raw like that.
Let's move over to NXT. Big takes, yes, from the show. I guess how the show ended, right, King Lucky?
Well, so first of all, let me start by saying that I really like the Velveteen Dream versus Finn Balor feud that they shot, and I think that similar to the other feud that I mentioned with Rollins and Drew McIntyre, you could really milk this feud and have some great quality matches out of it. But, you know, elsewhere, Timothy Thatcher made his debut, which is really cool. Yeah. A lot of people got excited about that.
Bad motherfucker.
Yeah. Bad motherfucker. And then ultimately the culmination of the show, Las Vegas' own Karrion Kross made his debut and beat the shit out of Ciampa. So,
and did a good grunt. I love his grunt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very excited.
Like a dog.
Awesome. I just could not figure out, though, how did he get his boot?
It's where not it was.
Oh, really?
Hey, but real talk, I thought the same thing, man. I thought the same thing for a second. Like, oh, how the fuck does that work? But yeah.
But you didn't know whose boot that was?
Michael? No, I
that
did.
That was Scarlett Rhodes' boot.
Yeah,
Scarlett Rhodes. Scarlett Rhodes. Everybody's Rhodes.
That's funny.
Scarlett fucking Rhodes. I've got to say it.
Okay.
I fucking love the Dexter Lumis character.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you for talking about
it. I do too.
That.
Okay. Perfect. Awesome. So as long as we're all on the same page, I fucking love it.
He's like a
keep up the creepiness. It's fucking great.
Yep.
It's like Dexter. I mean, I'm saying it because it's in his name, but I'm saying that he's like a creepy ass Dexter. Like, I can see him wash his hands like 1,000 times after killing somebody and like bleaches floor and shit.
I mean,
like, he has that creepy vibe.
Even his video package and music package is perfect for him. I mean,
yes.
It is
perfect.
Yeah, it's awesome. Super excited about him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised Lucky hasn't talked about it. I mean, the Cruiserweight tournament. I know Lucky was watching that motherfucker like set. But I mean, there was really some good matches. I mean, I'm glad to see Tozawa's getting some love. You know, I always have a special place in my heart for Tozawa.
Mm-hmm. He survived the release.
He did. Tying in with that, I was really happy to see Swerve Scott on NXT.
Yes.
That dude,
he's going to be something special.
Give it a couple of years.
Yes.
Give it a couple of years, and everybody will be talking about Swerve Scott.
Mm-hmm. My big question is, though, Eli Drake, or not Eli Drake, what the fuck is Spud? If Spud, Drake Maverick, that's it. If he wins the tournament and wins the belt, what happens then?
Well, he gets the Feast of Fire case.
Oh my gosh. Jesus. Then then it would have been a thing to where, out of all those people who did get laid off, WWE did find a way to put in a work.
Would that be more of an insult, though, if the guy goes on
and
they wrote it so he wins the title, but yet he's been fired? How much it means. Here's a title, too. Take the cruiserweight.
Take the belt with you.
Let me ask you, because he is
instead of fucking Deal or No Deal with the briefcase, it's fucking Job or No Job.
I mean, he's the only one that did a video like that, right? I mean, no one else did a video.
No, and they didn't shut it down. And I'm wondering, is it a work, possibly?
No, there's been a few that have actually done videos, expressing their gratitude to the fans and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
gotcha.
You know, it was tough to watch.
Yeah, it was, man.
His, you know, probably more than anybody else's.
Yeah,
he took He took one for the team, running around the backstage for a 24/7 title.
King Lucky, I know that. Yeah. I know that this matters to you, but Spud's girl.
Yeah.
She Renee Michelle, just so that you know, she launched an OnlyFans.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Hold on real quick. I want to just say it, and I know y'all give me shit for it, but not every beautiful woman that has an OnlyFans site probably has nudes. Just want to put that out there.
There's no use of having one if you're not.
I'm just letting you know.
Here's the thing. To quote someone you all know and love, she's charging $20. There's no nudes. What the fuck? No video. That's what it was. No videos. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's a hard pass. There's nothing wrong with supporting local talent, but that's a hard pass if you're not getting nude, baby.
A hard pass.
Well, let's jump over to AEW Dynamite.
That's cute. I love how you just said that. That was so cute.
What stood out from that show?
It was a bust this week.
Oh.
I don't think it was a bust.
I think it was a bust.
I didn't think it was a bust at all. I mean, real talk, the highlight for me was freaking seeing not Hoyt, but seeing Archer knock the fuck out of somebody. All of a sudden, freaking you have Billy Gunn that have to be in place like, do something now, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I thought that shit was hilarious.
I love how they're putting over Lance Archer, man.
Fucking great. That promo with Jake the Snake where he's going to the backyard wrestling a whole bunch of motherfuckers, that's how I envision him anyways. And that shit's awesome. Yep. Freaking amazing.
Perfect usage.
Especially
can we just talk about the strength of Lance Archer picking up Colt Cabana in his finisher? Mm-hmm. That takes some fucking strength. Colt is not a small man.
Right.
No, he is not.
Yeah.
No, he. That's a bad man right there. I'm telling you.
Bad man.
Beware.
I thought that match was actually really good, but overall, I thought the show was, it was passable.
You didn't.
But I thought that match was really good.
You wanted to see more of the bubbly bunch.
That shit was kind of cool, though. I mean, I wasn't hating on it. I thought it was kind of cool. I liked it. I like how they was really pumping up your boy. Almost everybody from Bellator who ain't working right now or doing shit got on.
Yeah.
I mean, like everybody.
You guys want a payday? Okay.
Yeah. This 30-second promo real quick. And you almost knew, like, man, they boosted up this much. He's going to lose. I'm just saying. Like, you had to know he was going to lose.
Yep.
But it was cool.
I'll say it. I'll go ahead and say it.
All right,
that match was about 10 minutes too long.
Yeah, it was. We were all exhausted, including JR. JR was very exhausted.
Oh my god! For the love of all that is holy, please get JR someone else in the booth with him.
Well, I'll tell you right now, he's an Oklahoma Sooner. It was about 5 miles down from where I live. And they've been doing collegiate wrestling for about 90 years or something.
I love JR. He will forever be ingrained as one of the greatest announcers of all time and voiced my childhood. But, oh, my God.
Yeah, but at least he can call the matches now without wearing any pants.
Oh, my God.
That's true.
You know, my God, if you tune in right now, you can catch Jack Hager right now on AEW.
The best part when he's all talking about when they were doing chops, they were like, oh, the sweat off their bodies.
Glistening.
Yeah, listen, I was like, go, JR, go, bro. I just wanted to know what he was going to say next. I was like, man, this shit is entertaining.
Yeah.
It was really good. And I thought it was funny how he was talking about, well, you know, to my knowledge, you know, you have to get in the ring to not even win, but it's no holds barred. Meanwhile,
right.
Guys are in the stands trying to do a submission. Tap, tap, tap. Yeah. I'm trying to figure this out. Like, why?
Yep.
Yeah. Fucking TNA.
Well,
fucking AEW. I'll go ahead and give props because I get accused of being an unapologetic AEW mark and not ever giving NXT any credit.
Okay.
NXT did defeat AEW again this week in the ratings. Yeah. 692 to 683. Thousands, obviously. So they didn't just barely beat them, they decisively beat them. So good on NXT. Two in a row for NXT.
All right, all right, all right. Let's jump right over into SmackDown. Your 8-time tag team champions, The New Day. King Lucky, what'd you think about SmackDown?
Well, I thought SmackDown had a couple of the bright spots. You had the old throwback there with the Strowman mask from his time in the Wyatt family. I thought that was nicely done. Two talents that have been underutilized got the rub this week. Dana Brooke and Tamina both won their matches, so I thought that was a bright spot. You know, it's freshening up the product a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say Sheamus.
Yeah.
Fell off!
I'm excited about the Triple H celebration because I think it's an opportunity possibly to shoot an angle.
CM Punk. Don't say CM Punk.
But I do think it's a possibility for someone, and maybe it's King Corbin. You know, it's not hard to, you know, to reach and get him. But I think there's something coming out of that one. But elsewhere, I thought the Mandy and Otis storyline continuing with, Sonya Deville. Hopefully this propels those two ladies into, you know, the spotlight that they've been looking for a while. You know, Sonya was crying a little bit too much, but...
I have to disagree.
That was her best, man.
Did fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And real talk, she's looking to get into acting. Yeah. And if we just saw what we saw, she's way more qualified than mm-hmm. what people fucking know. That shit was brilliant. She tied
Think about this. Lana is an actual trained actress.
Right.
And Sonya's acting was better than Lana.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. And the crazy thing is, and when she was throwing some digs, some of that was kind of based in public opinion anyways. Yeah. Like, you have no talent.
Yep.
Or you were so dry. I wasted 5 years of like some of that shit, real talk. It's some tangible shit. We were talking about Mandy Rose all the time. Man, she's great to look at. She's beautiful. But she was kind of dry.
Did you say she was dry?
Hey-o. Maybe she should have been on Raw.
Oh, jeez.
Hey. I'll go as far as to say my MVP for SmackDown was Sonya Deville. Bottom line.
MVP's on Raw, bro.
Jesus. Like I said, I thought the angle was good. I think it will help propel both of those characters.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
So I read that Mandy was the one that actually pitched that idea to Vince, and he went along with it.
Well, of course.
Of course.
Mandy's blonde and has big tits, so of course he's going to listen to every word she says.
Of course.
But real talk, though, I will be honest. Are we not happy that this did not go into a, or at least with these two people, go into a lesbian storyline? Because I think for a while, I think even last week, there was some rumors had it that that's the angle they were trying to go into.
Let me ask you this. Here's my question. In this foreseeable lesbian angle, was there any kissing involved?
Well, I don't know about all that. I mean, but I'm pretty sure if it was up to Vince,
if there was kissing, I'd say they should go for that. They should have gone all the way. If it wasn't kissing, they'd pass.
No, but I was also
well played, Michaels.
Yeah, it was thank nice. You. But I was also saying it more to the effect of I'm glad it didn't go that way because I felt like it would have definitely been spoon fed, forced, and it's something that could have been a hell of a lot better.
Hey, honestly though, the tone of the promo started off that in that direction, so they were definitely teasing that. And then for her to just drop her facial expression and to totally change on, you know, on a dime, it was fucking perfect. Amazing work. Bottom line.
But real talk. Did anybody talk about how like Dolph Ziggler probably really did care about Mandy? And was really trying to come off like he really does care about her, and then did that whole slick bullshit. Like, come on, tell me you don't feel something,
dude. He was talking to her in the boyfriend voice and everything. It was great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like nobody noticed. Like, was he sincere? Because Dolph Ziggler didn't sleep with everybody. I don't know if it's a rumor, but it's really a legend. At this point, it's a legend. I don't know if it's real, but it's a legend. He's a fucking legend. Him and John Cena.
Also. Props to Ziggler for wearing a Zack Ryder shirt.
I noticed that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, that was awesome. He got it on clearance. Sorry.
Yeah, he just went to the merch stand and picked it up.
Oh god.
And the low blows continue.
Hey, let me ask y'all this. What's the possibility? I know that they're both heels and everything, but is there something in the future that could be made out of a Sonya Deville versus a Shayna Baszler fight with an MMA wrestling style, something that big can take place? Do you guys see that?
Yeah,
okay.
It could work.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just kind of curious, you know, why not sort of play that up?
She's got a long way to go, but you can see it.
Yeah. Baszler needs something because here's the problem, and again, my opinion, here's my problem that I have with Baszler at this point. I feel like, okay, after the whole Becky situation, who does she go after?
Right.
If we're not just giving her the title and she'd be fucking dominant until Ronda comes back, because now Ronda is putting Travis through tables and shit.
Who does she go after? You know, she literally just put Sarah Logan in the fucking fired line, man. It's brilliant. She's using the motivation. Fucking
broke her elbow.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Outside all of that, I get what you're
saying. this is the way to get the belt on her. See, so there's two ways. You got to think like a booker. The fact of the matter is that Shayna right now is hotter chasing the belt.
True, I agree with that
because it's going to build her to the point where fans want to see her take that belt from Becky.
Yeah,
you need to do that, and this is how you do it. Look at, I just stomped out the fucking elbow. It was just amazing, and now if you know she beats the fuck out of
everybody,
then it builds it to where she is dangerous, and Becky better watch out for her life.
So then my question is this: if that's the case, I want to see Becky destroyed. I want to see her destroyed. I want to see her destroyed. I think it makes for better TV. Having Becky be Rocky Balboa and overcoming, I don't want to see that.
Speaking of who's better on the chase.
Right.
Yeah.
So what you do is you build it up. When Shayna gets the belt, she takes her out totally.
Yes. And have her like break her neck supposedly or some shit like that. Get her off TV for 6 months.
There exactly. You go. And then you have a third match, which is your blow off. And that's how you do longer angles, man. Yeah. I mean, that's literally it. It's you do those, you take advantage of stuff like, hey, we can have her break her neck, quote unquote, take her off of TV for 4 weeks, bring her back, build up, have the blow off.
There you go.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about SmackDown I thought was funny is Bayley and Sasha Banks handed Tamina the shirt. Yeah. Like, here, I got your shirt so we could be girls like real now. What the hell? You know I wear extra large.
That was funny. I did get a good laugh out of that. Yeah.
Oh, that shit was hilarious. Here's the thing. I like Bayley when she's having fun as a heel versus that pouty shit. That pouty shit was getting on my nerves, and I love me some Bayley, but it was getting on my goddamn nerves. So now she's having a little bit of fun and shit like that, being cocky. I like.
Well, there you go. And you guys didn't want to mention anything about our new our once again tag team champions in that match.
Well, I'll tell you right now, how many times did Big E give your boy a lap dance, a celebratory lap dance? Oh. I mean, like he did it once, and I was like, okay, all right. That's
hey, is there a way?
He went right back to it. It was definitely surprising.
Let me ask you, can Big E have a, I know this goes against the term, but can he still kind of have a singles run but still be a part of New Day?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
No? Okay.
Well, wait. I mean yeah. Kofi did.
Yeah, I would like to see it.
Of course.
I think he could do it, but I think
you would definitely be better as a fucking turning heel. And I think this plants the seeds for it because he won the championships by himself. Mm-hmm. And now when they eventually lose it, you have Kofi lose the belts for them and then it puts the blame squarely on or Big E will put the blame squarely on Kofi for costing them the championship.
So you're up for totally just breaking them up now? I didn't want to break them
up. Okay. No.
They wouldn't break them up.
I'm up for Big E saying screw this, I'm out. You can keep Kofi and Xavier Woods together. That's fine. But you turn Big E heel and then that's a license to print money right there.
Well, and also too, to add to that is even down the road. I mean, once Big E is done what he had to do as a heel on his little promo tour, once it's all done, he can come back together with the New Day, and it's like, brother, I'm sorry, man. You know, it's kind of like us. Sometimes we be wanting to say fuck you, and then but we always gonna come back together, and that's where the money's at. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, gotcha. Well, look, we got a few more talking points, and then we're done. WrestleMania 37. There's a possibility.
We're talking about fucking WrestleMania 37. We've been doing this for an hour and a half.
It's almost midnight.
We're talking about a fucking event that's happening next year.
Well, there's a good chance that it may not happen at all, and that's why it's being brought up now. They're already looking
but we got a full year to talk about it then.
Look, Impact is just going to end up in a beach on Florida. That's us. What's going to happen? WrestleMania, that's what's happen with
SummerSlam. A beach or Florida?
That's SummerSlam will take place on the beach.
There you go. Because it's essential. It's essential business.
Well, you know, thinking about that, wouldn't it be, you know, why don't all of these wrestling companies just move over to Florida right now and start, you know, recording? You know,
technically they could.
Yeah. They definitely could.
Yeah.
Don't drink the fucking tap water because Florida a little suspect, boy. They got some crazy shit be going on over there, man. They got motherfuckers with tires, people eating bath salts, eating other people and shit. I mean, I don't know, man. What the fuck was that? What was that?
Fucking zombie shit.
Oh my God! Oh, the man. Walking Dead shit.
Well, yeah,
we are the Walking Dead shit.
Well, yeah, right. We absolutely have a year to talk about that, but it definitely made the headlines as a possibility of it not taking place in L.A. And yeah, there's also rumors that I guess going back to Tampa possibly 2022, so they can redo it. So I guess that puts Vegas at least 2 years back if it would happen, you know. But
I'm sorry to interrupt you. No, but go ahead. With regards to Vegas, my neighbor works does the construction on the stadium. Mm-hmm. That has not stopped at all,
right?
Even throughout the whole COVID-19. She says there have been people that got COVID-19 and they immediately switched them out like it was a sports game.
Right.
They get benched, send in the new team. They said they are in, I think she said 97% done with the whole stadium.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, with a lot of pressure, because I know Sisolak wants to keep things closed, but if it does open up, let me throw this out there. What's to say that, okay, LA won't do it? Will Vegas do it?
Something to think
about. I mean, I'm just gonna throw it out there, and I'm just being. It would kind of suck in a way because I prefer it to happen when it's supposed to happen, and then, you know, we can enjoy it at its full capacity. So I don't want to see it if it's skimmed or half-assed. Not that it'd be half-assed, but would it be the same? Do y'all think it would be the same?
Yeah, a parking lot in Caesar's Palace, and you have, you know, JR come back and put on a toga. Fuck yeah, man. Why not?
And we can have, what was it, Gonzalez? What was that fucking dude?
Giant Gonzalez.
Giant Gonzalez.
He's dead, man.
Bring him back to life.
He's dead. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
All right.
Bring Yokozuna back to dead from life as well.
Well, look. I know a horrible transition, but speaking on passing.
Speaking of dead.
I'm actually going to pass this over to you, Matt Michaels. But, you know, hey, we all.
Me?
Yeah, you. Because you do this very well. Man. But look, bottom line is all of us grew up watching wrestling back when Howard Finkel was just in his prime. And it was just enjoyable to hear when he was on the mic, because every match that he was about to call was just going to be that exciting, just how he announced it. Take it from there, Matt Michaels, Howard Finkel.
Well, I think that in the end, his legacy will be naming WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. Now, people who worked with him have nothing but, you know, good things to say over the years about him.
Yeah.
That says a lot about, you know, someone who we saw as a ring announcer, but who was part of the inner workings of the business. And usually you hear stories about guys who are on that end that are negative, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, so and so hated me and they didn't like me and blah blah blah, was a jerk and blah blah. You never heard that about Howard. And Howard was the one who would watch the videotapes in the 80s and then the 90s and, you know, was the eyes and ears of conveying what's going on other wrestling programs.
Yeah.
And also conveying, you know, these are kind of the guys we should be looking at.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, his legacy is that of someone who was lucky enough to have a distinct voice where Vince could put him in an on-camera role that you literally don't think about the ring announcer until you get used to a voice and hear it over and over and over, and it becomes like hearing a family member. You know, it's comfort food now.
Right.
And so that's the awesome thing, is that Howard became part of, you know, everyone's childhood. He was that uncle. He was that voice of our childhood. And you look now, what's interesting is, since Lillian Garcia, the company's built women who sound exactly like Lillian. But with the guys, you'll never find anyone that sounded like Howard yet. No. Yep.
Right. Yeah.
You can't duplicate him, man. And that's the lasting legacy of him.
Yeah.
He's just, he was a great guy who everyone loved. And, you know, it's kind of like Gene Okerlund, you know,
yeah.
GCB and Gene, when he passed away, mm-hmm. the same thing. It's just that Howard didn't have the same, you know, tendencies for having the nip at the bar after the shows. Mm-hmm. So, right. you know, Gene had a lot of those great stories. And, yeah. you know, Howard, you don't really hear stories about Howard, you know, because he was always moving on to the next city with Vince and company. So,
yeah.
Let me ask y'all, let me throw this out there real quick. You know, one thing I just thought about, I actually thought about it earlier today. If anybody hasn't had a chance to watch, I'm sure we have, but anybody listening, Legends House, it's kind of a surreal feeling. You see the cast of that show, and these are people that we all grew up with at one time or another, been a huge part of our childhood, right?
Well, and
these people are passing away.
And, you know, with that point, what's awesome is that when that was on, we all got to watch it, and mm-hmm. we all did watch that while it was on for the first time. They were all still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you didn't watch that show and now you go back and you actually start watching it for the yeah. first time, yeah. you're realizing that people are now dead. And I don't know anyone who hadn't seen the show until
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just started thinking about, you know, just the front cover of the show and they're all sitting there and I don't know, you know, in my head, just thinking like, wow, man, these are people that really were a big part of our lives, you know, voice, spirit, and growing up, and, you know, I don't know, just appreciate and give people flowers while you can now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Howard Finkel,
Hey, Lucky?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you ever see Legends House?
To be honest, I only watched maybe like one episode, but I really started digging in this weekend, today more specifically. And yeah, I'm starting to watch it now. So I should have watched it then, but there's just so much content. And so now I get a chance to catch up.
Yeah. Yeah, but there was no content back then. That was one of the only things.
Yeah, it really was one of the only things at the time. But yeah.
Yeah. just in general.
Yeah.
TV shows, things like that. So yeah, but now I'm late to the party, but yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Do you actually watch more episodes of 205 Live than Legends House before you saw Legends House?
Yeah.
Well,
just one last point on Fink. I mm-hmm. will say that he definitely is the most iconic voice, you know, when it comes to announcers, and his trademark with "and new,"
yeah,
it's just synonymous with crowning something special, and has been duplicated now throughout many sports, you know, not only wrestling. So I think that's you know, a testament to how great he was.
Hey, everyone in the Attitude Era, would you have taken Howard Finkel or would you have taken Michael Buffer?
I'd have took Finkel just because he's a cool ass dude that would have freaking he was rocking that toupee for a minute though. I gotta give him his props, man. He was bold with that shit. Had a different toupee all the time. Did anybody else notice that shit until he decided to just be bald? I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I guess I'm the only person.
I'm definitely taking the Fink too, yep.
I'm taking him.
Same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, he will always be remembered, and we thank him for all the great memories.
Definitely.
So, with that, fellas, we are now wrapping up promoting any upcoming podcasts we got coming out. By any chance, Matt Michaels, do you know yet what yours would be released this Friday?
No.
Not yet? All right. Well, we know that we are going to have another edition of People That I Don't Hate from Matt Michaels. That will be out on Friday, so definitely listening. We still have the Four Corner Buckle. It was just released this past Wednesday. We're hoping to have another
awesome
one
episode.
Up. Well, thank you much. It'll be another one 2 weeks from now. But if you want to get on, if you want to take me on, you know, just let us know. It's just as easy and simple as getting on our social media and letting us know that you want to get on the show, and we'll reach back and make those arrangements. I do know that...
I want to say there was some good shows. My apologies for interjecting, but there's some good children's shows for anybody that would like to watch some shows with their child. Me and my son watched the NXT event, which was okay for a child show. It was like Mike. And then also the Big Talk is the big show. Big show that's on Netflix actually is really, really good. And if you have a young child, it's pretty much Full House meets the Big Show. And you also see other legends come in as well, such as Mick Foley and Mark Henry. I was surprised how good it was. So,
spoiler alert.
No, it was pretty much in the preview. So if you stay on the title of that show, you'll see them.
Now, Simon Street, just real quick. We've now that you've been doing a little bit of gaming, you've been going live on our Facebook page. And what nights and days are you going to kind of do that? So if people want to see what games you're playing, you know, they can tune in and watch you do that.
Well, right now I'm sticking to just the Monday nights for right now.
Monday nights.
So tomorrow. I'm waiting for one bit of equipment to come in because something broke down on my rig a little bit. Uh-oh. But Monday nights for right now.
What time?
From 6 o'clock p.m.
Specific.
To the Pacific to 9. And then, like I said, it's a work in progress. Like I've told anybody that's chimed in, just trying to have fun with gaming. And eventually would like to run tournaments, whether it be Smash Brothers, open invitation to anybody, some WWE 2K 20. Eventually, I'd like to do an open tournament. Anybody has any suggestions, comments, anything, I'm open. I'm really just open. I just want to have fun, and let's all have some fun gaming. So tune in to it's Facebook. It's Streetside Streaming, and working on trying to get a YouTube page eventually going. With recorded videos, and it's like a work in progress.
Well, cool.
And,
yeah. So around tomorrow, 6 p.m. Pacific, you may see a notification that he's up and going, and tune in and watch him do his thing. Last remarks for the night. I'm gonna go over to Sin City, Steve. What are your last words, brother?
I got nothing, man.
Nothing. Okay.
Again, just right. just be safe, guys.
Yes.
Obviously, I know that there are some people out there that are wanting to, you know, they got the cabin fever. They want to get out and, mm-hmm. you know, do all that kind of shit. And I understand, but, you know, keep everybody else in mind on that, you know?
Absolutely.
If you do absolutely have to go out, observe the social distancing, stay 6 feet away from people, especially me. Like, if you come up to me and I'm in the middle of the fucking grocery store and you're like, dude, Sin City Steve, can I get your autograph? Fuck no. Not right now. Stay the fuck back. 6 feet away, motherfucker. No, I'm
kidding. And I'll give you off. And I will tell you this,
but
Sin City,
like,
remember.
Seriously, like, mm-hmm. 6 feet.
But we do have a little bit of a special here. If they can... well, I guess actually the special is going to be over because it's going to come out on a Monday. But we did have a special this weekend that if they listened to any one of our podcasts, they would have been regulated to 5.9 feet instead of 6 feet. So they could have moved up an inch closer to you, man, just for listening to any podcast.
That's why I said that, because I knew that the offer expired.
Right.
See, now you just fucked up the whole shit.
I know, right? All right. Well, you know what? You never know. It might happen again next weekend, man. Get another inch, like 5.8
all right,
feet.
All right, cool.
King Lucky, any final words, brother?
Thank you guys for listening to the show. Really appreciate it. You know, even though in this downtime and uncertain time, you guys are still listening to our show, so I do appreciate that, and we appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
No doubt. Simon Street, final words?
I just want to say, everybody, stay safe out there. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you're having a hard time staying inside and finding something to do, if you go to King Lucky's page, he is giving out his free 4Tube membership for everybody to partake and keep yourself – just keep your hands warm.
I don't even know. I don't even know what that is.
4Tube? What is 4Tube?
I don't know. I just named one out there, man.
Okay. Well, with that,
I don't know what it subscribes to.
Matt Michaels, what is your final words?
I just saw this just broke. AEW has now signed Luke and Carl Rhodes.
Ah. All right. So they did get married into the Rhodes family.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they've been in the Rhodes family.
Well, then there should be a lot of great matches we should see from them. All right. Absolutely. Again, thanks you all for listening, and we will see you next week. Take care.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.